Could you imagine going to a concert that was a meditation concert, a cinematic production of meditation in real life? That's what my next guest, Simon Hayduk, is talking to us about. He is a multimedia visionary artist, and he works in digital art and animation. And he is using AI in his business to really speed things up. He can do incredible cinematic productions for live shows, for online events, and for his online art shop. Simon is really passionate about how we are going to tap into collective consciousness and use the AI tools that we have at our disposal for good. He sees a lot of the bad that's happening. He's been through that terror of being an artist when AI came on the scene. And he's worked his way into a place of really understanding that we get to choose. We get to choose how we are going to feel about these things. We get to choose the world we live in, the thoughts that we're thinking about all of these things. How can we really step into our best experience of AI, of content creation, of collective consciousness in the age of AI? Simon and his wife Jane blend plant medicine, somatics, accessing your psychic gifts, your inner body's wisdom, and art for a really unique experience. We get into it in the episode. He walks us through even some ways that in our online businesses, we can use these AI animation tools. He says it's really easy, we'll see, to create reels and shorts and things like that that we might be using in our businesses. Simon is also going to be in the Ottawa area on November 7th. So I will pop that link in the show notes for you, and I will hope to see you there if you're anywhere in the Ottawa area for this meditation concert event. Welcome, Simon. I'm super excited to have you here on Unjaded.
Hey, Vicky. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you have a really different niche to what many of my listeners would be doing. Can you tell me a little bit about what you do and how you do it?
Yeah, so I'm a multimedia artist, and I work in a lot of different mediums, music and visual. Primarily, I'm doing digital art where I do digital paintings. I have a big screen in my workstation that I do the paintings right on with digital painting software. And then I, over the past many years, have been animating those. So I do a lot of, I break down the layers, and I have a lot of different apps where I animate them. And I bring that into VJ software. And so I do VJ with live visuals for music concerts, and then my own multimedia meditation concert. And I'm also a musician. And over the past few decades, I've been playing a lot of different instruments, guitar, bass, drums, cello, electronic, and making my own albums, playing with different artists. And so I have a fusion where I bring a lot of that together for my multimedia concert. And yeah, that's my path, is just weaving all of these things together.
Okay. So Juliana Christine is a mutual friend, and she connected us because you have a different view of AI than a lot of the artists that I've spoken with. A lot of artists have a genuine, I would say, legit fear around AI and what's happening in the artistic space especially, but you have a different take on it. You were excited about it, I think was what you said in our first conversation.
Yeah, I definitely have levels of excitement. I also have levels of extreme terror and confusion.
Okay,
I can
go
outside. So anything I say in this conversation, people should know that I have a caveat of being able to look at it from like totally the opposite perspective. But I can go anywhere with it, but I did find over the past sort of year or so of exploring it that when I allowed myself to find things that I could be excited about, that's also a fun path to take.
That could be said for all of life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You got to find. Yeah. So, I can talk about that certainly.
Yeah. So we will get to that. But first, I want to just unpack a little bit more about your business, because before the show started, you and I were talking and you offer concerts. You're actually coming to my area. So you're in British Columbia. You're coming to Ottawa, Ontario, and you do live shows. Walk me through what those live shows look like.
Yeah, so how it started was just me doing live visuals for a house concert that someone wanted to do. They were doing a ceremonial space, and I said, oh, hey, I have all these new visuals. So I went and live performed visuals like a VJ would at a music concert, and had music running and I was performing it. So it's like a mixing different visuals in a live context. And most people are probably familiar with visuals at a live music show. And so over the years, I wanted to bring that into a meditation context because I really appreciate meditation. And I didn't think that there was anything out there that was like what I was imagining, where it was sort of a mix between like being at a film, but it's a meditation concert, and it kind of has the feeling of a music concert, but it's also a meditation. And so me and my wife Jane have been working that over the years and designing it, curating the duration and what's involved and how we present it. And so we do a live introduction where I describe my inspiration and process, which has a lot of different facets to it. And so carving that out over the years has been interesting. So it goes into things like cymatics, sound therapy, nature, psychedelics, near-death experiences, all kinds of metaphysics. And then Jane talks about, she's a counselor, and she talks about somatic therapy and everyday psychic skills. And then we have an intermission, and we bring people on this audiovisual journey. That's my animated artworks along to my music and music from a bunch of other artists.
It's really fascinating because I've never heard of anything like this at all before. Maybe I'm just living somewhere where this isn't, but I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I don't know of anyone else doing exactly what we're doing. So yeah, it's taken some years to get it to where it is. And even figuring out venues and how to present it has been an interesting thing. I do know of a few people that are doing like dome theater shows that are similar, which I only found out from someone being at one of my shows and telling me about this, where they do sort of an audiovisual journey in a dome show. And but other than that, yeah, it's not a common thing that's happening. So at, you know, getting it out there and advertising it is interesting. It's like how to describe it for a cold audience is a funny thing. It gets a little crazy trying to think about we're using the right words, but yeah. So far it's working out. We keep doing a lot more shows, and we've been touring back and forth across Canada. So yeah.
So cool. So fun. So you are not like a superhuman design nerd or anything. You're just a little bit familiar with your design. Do you feel like you're in response as a generator when you're creating these things? Is there something happening outside of you that you're responding to? What's your process like?
Yeah, I like that. I like reading. I did sign up for your emails, and I got those messages, and I did feel like that was pretty accurate. I do get like hits of inspiration where I'm like, okay, got to go for it.
Mm.
And also like the other side of it, I guess the, I don't know, what was it called? Like the counter, the
not self, the frustration.
Not self, the frustration is for sure. Like if I overthink things and I'm like not following that, yeah, obviously it's really frustrating. But I get a lot of hits of inspiration. So it gets a little difficult to keep up with, I would say, for sure, for me. Like I'm constantly getting ideas and inspired to do things, and I want to go like full steam ahead, and that can be challenging because there's only so many hours in the day. And I mean, for me, some of what I'm doing now, I feel like, oh, I should have been completed this like 5 years ago or more, you know, or something. Yeah. Like there's already all these other visions and things that I should be doing. And then involving other people is always interesting. When you have a level of excitement and you want to bring people up to that level, it can be like interesting for people or frightening. But yeah, my process is getting inspiration. And I've been carrying visions for what I'm doing for like 20 years. I started getting really clear ideas. Well, I guess it wasn't super clear back then, 20 years ago. Some of it was, but it's interesting to see it come together through what I would describe as my spiritual awakening process, which was in 2004, and having ideas for, I knew I wanted to get into animation. I knew I was getting into visionary art, like metaphysical, spiritual art and nature representations. And I always had ideas of animations. And so it's been really interesting to see it come together over the years through all the different tools that I've explored, with AI being sort of one of the most recent ones to bring into it. So I feel like aligned with the human design element of getting ideas and moving forward as a generator.
Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure, I just glanced at your chart quickly before this, but I'm pretty sure that the gate of ideas, gate 11, is your conscious sun. So like 70% of who you are is about having all of these ideas.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I'm often envious of that because I have the 56, the other side of it. You have the whole thing. And I'm so envious of that whole channel in people. I just absolutely love that. And your design is highly intuitive too. Like it's really important for you to make something beautiful of your life intuitively, to just know when time is to move.
It feels like it.
Yeah.
And I hope that over the years that I am following that more, like that's the idea that I feel like the more I can trust my intuition, the better off I am. But I would say it's still a struggle at times, in the sense of just due to everyday life things that come at us, at running a business, like wearing all the different hats that I have, you know, running an online shop for my business, for my art, selling my artwork, promoting that, doing different types of shows. And anyway, it gets complicated, but it's interesting for sure. Like following intuition usually works out pretty good.
Yeah. It's there for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your business is a mix of online and in person then?
Yeah.
And are you managing everything? Do you have a team?
I manage everything.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I've had other people work for me, but they come and go, partly due to just me sometimes just not having enough work to keep someone on, and then they need more full-time employment, and so they have to find something else. That's usually what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I just end up falling back, because my business, there's so many moving parts to it, so many little nuanced things. It's not really clear, and I'm constantly evolving, constantly trying new things. And wow, it's hard to find someone that wants to wear a lot of different hats. Usually people want to be sort of specialized in a few different things, whereas a lot of, I guess you could say, entrepreneurs or artists are that are self-motivated are like, okay, I have to learn how to do this, I got to learn how to do that. And you know, if you want to be successful, you kind of just have to dive in and start learning things. And yeah, anyway.
Yeah, we figure it out as we go along. But I think that's maybe a struggle for a lot of us as entrepreneurs, is finding the right team. And like you said, having enough work. And I don't know about you, but my creativity comes in bursts. So it's a lot of, okay, right now it starts all these projects to work on, and then I might have a little bit of a lull. So it is a thing for entrepreneurs in general, I think, for sure. Mm-hmm. So AI, how does an artist who's doing so many different artistic things use AI in your business?
Well, primarily I started exploring it with art. I saw other people using it a few years ago, probably about a few years ago now. Things are just moving so fast, but I was just blown away by what I was seeing. There were a few artists where I was like, wow, how are you doing this? What's happening? And I really liked what I was seeing. I've been making digital art since the 90s. I took digital art in high school. I graduated in 1999, and I was exploring some of the first digital art programs. I'm also originally from like doing traditional mediums. I've done a lot of that in my past years, also like acrylic and oil painting and all that. But I've been drawn to digital for its flexibility and being able to explore ideas. And, you know, if you're working on a canvas, if you make mistakes, they're a lot harder to correct. And I really like to explore a lot of different ideas as I'm working. Like, I don't really ever know what I'm doing, to be honest. I just am like, so I like to try things out and go back and forth. And so with AI, it gives that ability. So when I got into it and being able to see like, wow, you can really explore ideas really quickly. Pretty amazing tool. And I started sort of remixing some of my artworks. And I enjoyed that. And simultaneously also seeing like, wow, it's a bit of an addictive like video game to just keep like pressing this generate button and like seeing what comes up with it. And like time goes by and it's like, wait a second, what am I actually doing with this? So it's taken some intention and awareness to hone in what I'm doing and bring it back to focus of like, how's this fitting into the greater vision of my projects that are unfolding, and not taking away from the satisfaction of me creating things the way that I want to with my style and vision. Yeah. And then along came the animation part of it has been really evolving over the past few years. And it's just blowing my mind also because animation takes a lot of time. Like animating things is really intense, even with motion graphics tools like After Effects. It's like, it's just incredibly time consuming. And it's my least favorite part. Like I really enjoy mostly the process of doing digital paintings, the creation of them, and the music creation process. But the animating part is my least favorite. It's sort of like getting it done. But I like the outcome of it, and I'm pursuing it. So it's interesting to weave in these different tools into my process and see how they can fit without taking away from what I would describe as my vision or my art style, because it's really easy that it could go in that direction. Yeah, anyway, there's a lot to explore there.
Yeah, I feel like, and the same for every entrepreneur who's using AI right now, is that yes, it's saving us time, but what is it taking from our creative process in the mix? And like you say about sitting there and then having to come back to, wait, what am I really working on? How is this really moving me forward to my projects? It can be so easy to just zone ourselves out when we're working with some sort of an AI tool. Actually, MIT at the time of this recording just came out with a study about that, and it's fascinating what we are doing to our own brains.
Yeah, and I can see it for sure. I think when I first started getting excited about it a couple of years ago, there was another artist who came out with an article that was called The End of Art. It was like a video article thing anyway, and he went into a really dark side of it, and I totally resonated with that. And I was like, yeah, this could be the end of art creation, in the sense of like, especially like the youth getting their hands on it and like not really wanting to bother having the skills to draw anymore or do things, like just with the push of a few buttons you can create things, and it's becoming easier and easier and easier, and soon like most movies will be, so much of it will be AI generated. We're already seeing a lot of short films that are looking really good. And that's both exciting but also terrifying, because it's like, well, what becomes of things if we go this way? Like, it's just this soup of endless content, and it's just content. And even that's even what I see on a lot of social media with a lot of AI stuff. I'm like, well, what's the point? Like, it's like eye-catching, but a lot of it, to me, in my judgmental observance, is like my subjective view, is it's garbage. I'm just looking at weird things that are purposefully weird to grab your attention, just because it's like, whoa, it's like animating in front of my eyes, but what's the point of it? And we're just, you know, that's social media. It's like content, content, more content. And so the dark view of it is like, okay, so now we just have this content everywhere, but what is the intention? So yeah, I'm always trying to come back to what is my intention and focus, and not getting rid of me doing the work, because I actually enjoy, I have a satisfaction of going through some of the struggle with learning how to do the paintings. And so for me, also part of the process has been using it to, and a lot of visual artists are doing this, painters, even like traditional medium painters, typically use reference images. Like a lot of artists use reference to paint from. Even if you see like a very fantastical image, often they'll still have like a collage of references that they're pulling from to help with, how does that look in 3D, or what's the lighting on this subject or whatever. And so it's like a really new reference tool that's pretty incredible, because you can generate all these ideas and have reference. And so I'll generate a bunch of reference that's very custom, and then do my own digital painting from there, from scratch. And it's incredible, like, how different it will end up looking from the different AI generations, because I can have such an array of them. And so I like that process, though. And then I get to also struggle with, like, well, how did it do that? And, oh, look at that cool little feature. And how am I going to implement that into my work? You know, that's a fun process. And that's a cool, like, learning. It just brings me back to any part of the learning process with creating art is being able to see that. And now how do I break that down and do it in my own way?
So for consumers, when we're looking at art, how do we know? Like, I feel like so much of the world is fake right now. And we're on social media looking and we're always like, that's not real. That's not real. That's not real. How do we know with art anymore?
Yeah, that's going away really quickly. It's unfortunately a weird time to be in. And I think when people see digital art, especially, it's just like, you know, unless they've been following for a while. Yeah, there's this weird sort of division, it feels like, too, where people are like, oh, if they see any amount of AI, they're going to they're going to unfollow or whatever. Mm-hmm. People get very upset and they just don't like it at all. But the weird thing is they're also not going to know really soon what's what. And especially if you're just watching anything on a screen like movies and whatnot. I mean, for years, people have been using digital animation in movies. Something like Jurassic Park was one of the first movies that came out with like a really realistic, these dinosaurs that were computer graphics. And people were like, wow, you know, and it's an amazing tool. And those were like early iterations of AI. Like those were, it's just like, we sort of changed the name because what AI, like there's a lot of differences, but at the same time, it's like these digital tools fill in the blanks where like traditional tools might've been more time consuming to do all the details. Whereas earlier forms of AI, even with like motion graphics, it's like, well, keyframe animation, you could put something here and over here, and then the computer fills in the blanks of how that moves across the screen. You don't have to draw each frame. And so that's been around for decades. And so this is a new iteration of it. And anyway, how do people know? Yeah, you won't know. It's like, it's just getting so precise, even with like traditional looking media, a traditional drawing, traditional anything. It's like, it's a funny, weird time to be in with all of that. And I feel a little like part of my, like I have a fear of my own irrelevancy in the sense of just people being like, I don't even want to look at anything that seems slightly digital or something. But then again, how do you know? Like, if you go to someone, like, I guess, what are you going to do? You're going to go to someone, an artist in a booth, and see like, okay, even if they have prints on paper, well, even if they look like they're hand-drawn, at this point, they could be AI and they could just be saying it. And I wouldn't put it past people to do that. I've been to some of the expos I do, and there's been booths of people having AI art, and they have all this AI art and they're selling it. And it's like, people buying art, I think a lot of them actually aren't even concerned with the process. They just are into it. I think so. Yeah. I do expos where I go to, I don't know for sure, but they seem to be doing all right. The AI artists, and they have huge followings online. Like, there was a big boom in the past couple of years where there's big followings and it looks like they're doing well. I don't know for sure. I'm not talking to a lot of them about how they're generating income and if they're selling prints, but the ones at the expos are, I see the little hand icon.
Yeah.
Elvin, I don't know if you're gonna have to edit that out, or I don't know if that appears in the video, but anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a fascinating thing. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and incorporating it in subtle ways. I've been doing really subtle animations within my own artwork. And then with the process of this multimedia concert, this meditation concert that I was telling you about at the beginning, what I've done is essentially we were doing the presentations live, where Jane and I would get up on stage and we would do a keynote presentation with slides, and we'd be talking at a microphone. But over the past year, last winter, I recorded us talking, and then I animated a bunch of sequences describing what we were talking about. And I used a lot of AI for that. And that was really awesome. And we love the result. We think it's definitely a huge upgrade. Like, yeah, people don't get to see us talking live, but the whole experience is way more cinematic. It's way more detailed visually. So it's a combination of us talking like I am here now. You see the talking heads, but then you see this animation. And that was so, and it's so incredible to use as a tool to be able to describe these, a lot of the things that are, can be difficult to describe with metaphysics and some of the points that we have are not, there's not content already made for it. You can't just go to a stock media website and find content for some of the things we're describing. So it's really fun to be able to go in and describe it. Like one of the sequences is my, I call it my awakening experience, which was an event that happened in 2004 involving entheogens, and me and a friend left our bodies, transfigured into particles of light and traveled through the universal mind lattice. And a bunch of interesting things happened through that. But to be able to take some of my original paintings and then animate from there and actually animate that experience and actually like create the room that we were in and show what happened to some degree. Obviously, it's not exact, but it's like it was, that was a really amazing process to be able to describe that.
Mm-hmm. And it would be amazing to be in that room, the AI created room in your ceremony or in your concert, and be able to experience that as a participant, which we probably without AI wouldn't have access to that level of cinematics, correct?
Well, you could. It just would have taken me way longer and incredibly expensive to the point where I wouldn't have, like, couldn't afford to hire a bunch of people to do it. And then it would have taken me, like, the one sequence that's, I think it's like 2.5 minutes, took me about 2 weeks of solid work to do. But with the tools that I had before AI, probably would have taken like 2 months or more, like, just who knows? Yeah. So that I just can't afford that time wise or financially. Mm-hmm. So yeah, exactly. It provides that ability.
The project wouldn't have been born without it, probably.
Well, this version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been a lot different. It would have been a lot more basic. Like it would have been like the slides that I presented while I was talking on stage. They were descriptive and it was fine. And people really enjoyed it and it was really great. But I'm a very visual person. I enjoy the deep visual explanation. And then also adding a lot of other sound elements is really great. It just makes for a deeper experience to curate it in that way. So, and I do think that people seeing the show are, you know, it adds it's an upgrade for them also. So
how much time do you think that using AI is saving you in an average week, month, year in your business? Just a guess. It doesn't have to be exact.
Yeah. Well, I think about that sometimes and I actually wonder how much time it's saving me or it's actually adding. Like, so when it comes to animation, it's definitely saving me a lot of time, like hundreds of hours for sure. But the idea generation part is tricky because I definitely feel like sometimes I go way too deep on the rabbit hole of idea generation. And that is not necessarily time saving because they end up in this analysis paralysis of like, well, which direction am I going to go now that I have like 100 different variations of this one idea? I guess that's where intuition comes in. You kind of have to hone in as like the director of something and like, all right, that looks like it. And then you follow that thread. But in general, with animation, it's for sure, it's got to be hundreds of hours.
What does your tech stack look like? I mean, a lot of people who've been speaking on the show have been talking about mostly ChatGPT, MindPal, more like the task things rather than the artist things.
Yeah, I don't use as much of those. I've used the LLMs for different parts of my business. So ChatGPT, Gemini, I go back and forth between for researching things, like even just researching venues of where to do the show, what might I use to advertise. It's sort of like using it as an advanced search engine. And I like that, being able to have conversations with it or just general research subjects for life that I'm curious about. But when it comes to work flow, with the artwork, it's more like I use over time it's changed, but things like Leonardo AI is one of the main image generation tools I use. Midjourney I've used a lot. Kling AI is an animation one. Luma is an animation one that I use a lot of. And then when it comes to just the normal desktop tools that I've had for a long time, it's like Adobe Photoshop, Adobe After Effects are the primary, those are like my primary tools for sure for doing the digital painting and animation.
So do you think if there was like as entrepreneurs, we're all making reels and videos and all of the things that drive us crazy to have to make and spend time on, do you think there's a way for us to use these who aren't, we are not artists, we are not into digital art, we don't know how to do the things. Is there a way for us to use these animation tools in these kind of business assets that we're creating or this content creation that we're doing?
Oh, for sure. It's so incredibly easy. Like you can use something like ChatGPT to help you with prompts. And it will, you can ask it like, oh, I'm using this specific tool. Can you help me generate a prompt? It's going to give you prompts that are more catered to its own workflow, which is, so ChatGPT is OpenAI and their animation tool is called Sora. And they have like a whole pipeline that I have only barely explored. But they, oh yeah, they have a full production pipeline that is really incredible. And then Google came out with a full production pipeline also, where it's like it will help you from every stage of the way, like small scripts, big scripts, online content. It'll generate the images, get like storyboards together. A lot of the tools are going this way. Like Adobe just came out with something like that. A lot of the AI online that were just image generation tools or video, they're kind of all going this way where they're stacking it all as like this one program where you can do everything within it. So they're all competing with each other to have that. And if you're not trying to adhere to a specific art style, then it's so easy because you can prompt things in, and if you don't care that much, as long as it's something that generally describes what you're saying, it's really easy to do to make visuals for something. There's a lot of trial and error. Like there's still time. It's not like there's a lot of bad like generations that you're not going to use. Like it just looks super sloppy or whatever. So you still have to spend the time curating it, and then you're going to want to know how to edit it together. But I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of new tools that streamline the editing process for whether it's social media clips or whatever. Like you can just dump a bunch of things in and give it, you can just prompt like a general idea and it will like arrange things for you and add sound clips. It's crazy.
It is crazy. That's what I need in my business. But then as you're talking, I'm also like, okay, well, here we are removing ourselves from the equation again. If we've got these pipelines built that
Yeah.
everybody can just like put an idea in and here's all the content, there's so many people in the online space, just I think it's dialing it in like that, calling it in. And there's like we've lost the human in it.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a weird element to that where I feel like we're going to be inundated with a lot of just content, 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 and it's going to all look so flashy and good. And then there's going to be so much fake stuff. Like there already are. We're seeing a lot of fake celebrities selling cryptocurrencies or marketing schemes. And I've heard them talking about it where they now have to hire someone to be looking for those and deleting them. And then we're with news and everything. And part of me feels like there might be this weird like exodus or something from social media. Like we might just reach this weird saturation point where everyone is so grossed out by it. And you can't trust anything anymore. And with all the things going on in the world, like it might, there's this already mental, health problems and mental crisis is over social media. Like every adult knows now how horrible the underbelly of it is, like the dark side of it. Obviously, there's perks to explore, but everyone talks about like the addictions, the bad things. So we might reach this weird saturation point where people have to go touch grass, like you just are forced to because of this repulsion from just seeing too much content and too much fake content.
That's what part of me wonders too. I'm like, are we coming to the end here? It really feels to me like we're coming to the end of social media for a lot of us. And I'm not someone who has been a social media hater at all, but I think, you know, and the person who started this series with me, Tracy Goodwin, she's a voice coach. And she talks about her business having exploded in the last 2 years because of AI, because she's actually bringing people back to their voice and connecting them with themselves. And then they're standing out in this fake social media world that we're seeing. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah. And I think on one of the positive sides, like what I'm trying to do with my art, because I generally make things where I'm creating from my heart and I want to uplift mm-hmm. the world and bring people into a place of peace and reverence for nature and inner peace and beauty and continue to express that through my art. And there's so much potential for people to do that. And one of the interesting things I've experienced with using it is that sometimes it feels like there's this experience. Well, it's not even feels like it is happening where we're tapping into the collective consciousness of humanity. And with these image and video generators and LLMs is like, that's literally what's happening is it's gathered data from everyone and everywhere. And you're able to collaborate with the collective consciousness and extract things, and we can imagine more beautiful things that, you know, that we know are possible. And I don't think we're spending enough time doing that. Like so many of the AI things I see, the little short videos and stuff, they're basically just generic, to me, generic copies of like what was popular. Like, here's a trailer for a movie that's generated by AI, but it also just looks like a mishmash of a bunch of the other most popular sci-fi movies. And it's the same dystopian script. Like there's so many dystopian things that are going on. And I've been talking about this for years. Like I'm confused why people aren't using these tools to imagine a more beautiful and holistic world. Like what are these visions of what a better world could be like? So we can tap into that, and that can be a really beneficial side to it. But again, instead, we see a lot of just fake news, fake, you know, scams. Like so many people are into scamming. Like they want to use AI to scam other people. And how can I trick people? And even just videos of nature. Like there's accounts that are dedicated to showing nature, but now they're showing like fake nature, because it's like a really cool picture of someone swimming next to a giant octopus or something. And it's like, okay, it's like kind of interesting, but also it's still like you're tricking people. And so people, I feel like, are lacking creativity to imagine a more beautiful world or where can we go that isn't dystopian or just tricking people? Do you follow me?
I am following you. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So how do we tap into this collective consciousness for the good? How do we do it better?
Well, I think meditation is a key component that a lot of people could explore that would allow them to find a place of creation that comes from a sense of peace to begin with, like a calm place that isn't based in urgency, that isn't based on manipulation. I think generally people that are into meditation, and there's all kinds of meditation practices, but finding a place of peace and love within oneself and then expressing from there and listening, like really listening to what that is saying, that is not just about like, how can this make me gain followers or make me popular? It's like, what is something that maybe could be provide goodness out there in the world, I think is just a foundational place to start from. And then being in nature is a primary thing for me, just being in nature and listening and feeling that. And what does that feel like? Like tuning into those actual feelings and then how to express that. Those are some ideas.
Mm-hmm. Almost every guest in this series has said some version of how are you going to stay connected with yourself? Like grounding, meditation, whatever it's going to take to be connected with yourself before you use these tools, as you're using these tools, after you use these tools, coming back to yourself always. And I also love the perspective that you've said a few times about it's just content, 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 content. Like we don't need more information. We don't need more content. So I wonder if this this kind of separating the wheat from the chaff is going to be more about conscious creators versus AI creations or versus fake, all of the fake stuff. Like, I wonder if it's going to be, yes, it's harder for people to tell right now, but I wonder if in the long run, it's going to be really easy for people to say, ah, I like that guy. There's something about him. I can feel his soul when I read his words. I can feel his soul when I see his art versus something that someone's just outsourced and put online to fill up more content.
Yeah, it could be something like that. I hear you, because I don't think, I hear a lot of people say they think whenever they look at AI stuff, it feels soulless. And I don't think that. I feel like I can see when people are using, because I know the creative path it takes to get to a result. And whether or not, I also understand what people mean when they say that. I wouldn't write it off completely. However, it's using the tools to describe something is just part of it, and being able to, yeah, like I think just what you said, I would agree with that, is like using the tools to describe something, whatever people are coming out with, you're going to resonate with it just because you are going to end up seeing it more. And I don't think people are just going to stop entirely watching movies and shows, like social media and all these things. I guess they might have a place that might phase out more, but people have been watching shows for so long. And we're going to be seeing so much more AI content in shows. But again, people can produce their own now a lot more easily. So however people have access to that, I think it's being able to expand with people's attention span is a really key thing also. Because we're so used to, you know, it's like the algorithms, it's like your video has to catch someone's attention in 2 seconds. Like, that's literally how it works. Like, anyone that does that, if you look at your insights, it shows you the graph of like how many people watched it past 2 seconds. And that's super challenging for me, because a lot of what I produce is like slow and meditative, and I build it up. Like, even in my most recent animation, it's like the drop in the visuals doesn't come till like 10 seconds in. And I struggle with like, should I put it right at the beginning? And I don't really want to, because it's not the thing. Yet I'm sort of being like forced to, in a way, through this like social media. And I don't like the vertical format either. Like, it's like we have these two competing formats of horizontal, vertical. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, that's a side note. Where was I going with that? Oh yeah, the attention spans. And my concert is like that in itself is a weird thing for people to step into that have never been to like a meditation concert. Like, what is that? To get people to sit down and go through like ambient music and look at like one or two images per song that are animating. And there's like features that and effects that animate within the scene that go along with the music. So it's all music emphasized to the music. It's very like poignant when there's musical things happening. Not the greatest description, but anyway. So one of the things we did though, when we like the first 20 shows we did, we actually had a cannabis ceremony at the intermission. So we handed out joints of cannabis we grew. And because I'm a fan of plant medicines, they've been really valuable in my life in a lot of different ways. And I think they deserve a lot of reverence and intention. But that is a great way for people to slow down and connect and kind of get on the same vibe. And so that was really great. We don't do that anymore. The last set of shows we had, we didn't do that. And we're probably not going to do it moving forward. But it was a fun thing to do that we learned from the Spirit Plant Medicine Conference. They'd been doing that since cannabis became legal in Canada. They were doing this cannabis ceremony on the Saturday evening where they would hand it out and they would guide people through this meditation. And again, because people are just, if they don't know what they're getting into, especially if you go into like a concert venue, yeah, it's tricky. But anyway, attention spans are a thing that people are going to, I think that's just something to notice anyway, and how we use social media and how we're like working on these two different wavelengths of how much people pay attention. So it's so frustrating. Mm-hmm. The whole 2 second thing. It's like, wow, you got to try to cater to that, or just forget about it. And you know, whoever sees your stuff does, but
that's what I kind of wonder about, is can we as entrepreneurs forget about it and say, you know what, there's so many times that I say, because I teach content, like creating content, and there's so many times that I say to people, you know, your people are going to find you. Like, I don't really want to work with people who have the attention span of a gnat, because my work goes a lot deeper than that. And it sounds like your work goes a whole lot deeper than that. So I just wonder if we're going to get to the point where it's like, there's going to be some of us, I'm not interested in watching something that has to catch my attention in 2 seconds. There's got to be other people like me on the planet. There's got to be other people who want to go a little bit deeper and who are not clicking off in 2 seconds on Instagram. That's my hope anyway. I don't know. Maybe it's a fantasy.
No, it exists. It for sure does, because I'm here. I'm the same way. And I think it's just the trick with the algorithms. And if people aren't watching your stuff, then they don't show it to more people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the weird, stupid thing with social media and the content creation, is that it's all geared towards, like, you know, you get rewarded if your stuff is super catchy in that time frame, and otherwise, whatever. And so, yeah, there's an element of surrender to that. You know, like my wife, Jane, she pretty much never, she had a small stint like a bunch of years ago of using social media, but hasn't posted something in several years. And she is constantly busy with counseling through word of mouth. And she just decided, she said she prayed to Holy Spirit one day and was like, you know, and well, and is constantly praying, but is like, just said emphatically, you know, I don't want to go down that path. Can you bring me people through what works best for me? And so it's pretty much all word of mouth. And it's been that way for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we can also do that, where we see that things can work out for us in ways that aren't geared towards what the algorithm or the mainstream setting is, and our version of success or whatever can just look different for where we're at in life.
Mm-hmm. Well said. So, to close this conversation out, do you have any great hopes for us as we move forward through this age of AI? It's a big disruption, and we chose to be here.
Yeah. I hope that more people can use it from a space like we were talking about, from a space coming from their heart and seeing their intentions behind it, not abusing it, not scamming people. And I do see, like, I for sure can hold an optimistic vision of us using it in ways that are very beneficial. And I think that there is this surrender to where we are. This realm, this place that we live on Earth, sort of has this constant flux of this yin and yang. And it seems like maybe there is no utopia here. So we have to choose where we want to live and what we want to focus on. And there will always be like the people that want to use the tools to scam and hurt other people. And then there are people that will want to use the tools that are for more beneficial. And there's a gray area in between all of that also. Mm-hmm. It's like super nuanced what that even looks like. Because some of the people that are using it for what I would consider malevolent purposes are, they probably think they're doing that's for the highest good and all that. Anyway, that's a whole other rabbit hole. But yeah, I hope people find a space of love that they can create from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we really only need the tipping point. We don't need the whole world to be joining us in this place. But yeah, I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
So where can people find you? I know I'll be at your show in Ottawa, and I'll talk about it on the podcast then, but where can people find you online?
So my website is artbysimon.com, and my social media is Simon Hajduk Art. So that's SimonHajduk Art, A-R-T.
Thank you. I'll pop that in the show notes as well. And also, if you have a link for the show in Ottawa, I'll post that in the show notes as well. Because as you know, podcast listeners listen for a long time afterwards. So it would be super fun to be there in person and see the show. It sounds interesting.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for being here, Simon. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, Vicky. Thank you very much.